Good afternoon, everybody. My name is Deb, and I am an alcoholic and a compulsive overeater, and I am glad to be here today and see you all. Okay, so step 11. I'll start off with sort of, in a way, I kind of like to put in how I think about it, how I thought about it before I did this process, and what has changed in the time that I've done it, and then go through the reading. One of the things that I discovered in thinking about this is that, you know, when each of us go through growing up, learning, developing, even in a spiritual process, there are steps that we take. And I think now of the kind of spirituality I had in my religious training as a child, as training wheels, as a basic bike. You know, it didn't have all the bells and whistles. It didn't have all the gears. It was basically that bike with the foot pedals, and it's all that I was able to handle at that time. And so prayer and meditation to me, first of all, meditation was non-existent, except for natural meditation, which I think many of us have as kids, or maybe we all have as kids, and we forget that ability to sit in the backyard and look at a leaf, and wonder what's crawling under it and keep thinking about it. That's, I think, a natural part of us that we forget that we have that to our availability. But prayer for me as a young person was, in essence, it was about emergencies, Santa, and fix it. You know, those were the sort of the three fundamentals that I remember having. And it was about my self-will. It was about God, I want this, and I want you to do it this way, and I want it done by Friday, and then I want you to tell me about it so I know everything's okay. And I can get back to that sometimes, but you know, that was a very immature, kind of a basic bicycle. And I look at the gift of being in recovery as discovering, first of all, the bike with the gears. And then discovering, oh, I could get even more power if I got one of those scooters with a motor on it. And no, Lord knows I won't do that. But then there's also a motorcycle, or there's a speed car. And this process of learning my spirituality as time has gone on has been all about plugging into this new power, plugging into this sense of, there's so much more available than the bike. And yeah, looking at that leaf in the backyard was a darn good thing, and I need to go back to that. So that's the simple message to me of step 11. And when I first came into recovery, it started out for me with gratitude. I was just so grateful that the substance I stopped first, I was alive. You know, in a basic sense. I wasn't putting my life at risk anymore. Let's put it that way. And then it became, instead of hearing God's will, it became, just let me do the next right thing. You know, that concept of, thank God I'm alive. Let me do the next right thing and not screw up so I don't have to do all this other stuff again. You know, that was my real early part of this. And I'd been exploring meditation in many ways prior to coming into recovery, and then doing it more frequently. So it has evolved over time. And I think if all of us look at it, one of the nice things about getting ready to do a step is you do get to look back. You get to think about, where was I? Not just in terms of recovery, non-recovery, but in terms of, how did I use these principles in all my affairs before? And it's very different than it is now. So that's where it starts out. If we actually now come to look at it, one of the things I like about this is, there are many things, I mean, let's all say it together. This is my favorite step. You know, we could all say, it's hard. I think what happens is it's all the steps are my guide to life. And so they all become treasures in my heart that I can use. But what I like about the way this starts, it basically works for people like us. And I think basically anybody with addiction is hard-headed and hard-hearted to begin with. You know, we've had to harden parts of ourselves in order to cope with things. But the first thing I wanted to point out is that at the top of 86, in that first verse, it works. And that's the first word, and it's in essence almost the last word. It's there again in 88.1. It works. It really does. You know, we are hard-headed people. We need multiple avenues of proof in order to get it. We did not get here because we could do it just the way you told us and do it right. We got here, probably most of us, I know I did, kicking and screaming and not knowing why my life wasn't better. How come I'm still stuck in the bedevilments? How come I'm still in pain, even though I quit all these substances? But still, you know, that concept, it works, it really does. And I think those are wonderful bookends for step 11. It works, it really does. When you look at that starting point at the top of 86, it works, it really does, if we have the proper attitude. And then we have to figure out what the proper attitude is. And for that, you can look back at 55. And I think it's sort of like three quarters down. It's in 55.4. It basically says here, with this attitude, and before that it says, if you can get rid of prejudice, if you can think honestly, and if you can search diligently. So in essence, that's the how, isn't it? It's in a different order, you know, but it's basically the how, the honest, open, and willing. If you're honest, open, and willing, then you're going to get this. And that applies to every step. I used to think it applied to just general, and now I understand. Every step for me has to be about being honest, open, and willing in order for me to have the recovery that I want in this life. So, you know, you kind of you have that attitude, you look at it, and I think, you know, again, when you look at the chapter on the agnostic, that ability to sort of step back and go, okay, maybe what I've thought, just that willingness to say, maybe I could open my ears to listen to something different. Maybe I could be willing to think about something. Maybe I could finally be honest with myself and go, you know, I have had that voice of God in my heart. I just haven't been talking to it. I'm not in connection with it. And so I think the other analogy I like to use is that of a plug. You know, that spirituality, prayer, meditation for me is when I sit in and plug in. I plug in and I've recharged my battery for the day. And that's the bit, that's the other part of my big picture with this, that I keep that in mind as I go ahead. So, you know, if you look at the, go ahead now with looking at 86. It works if we have the proper attitude and we work at it. And, you know, that funny way, attitude is just a settled way of thinking, or feeling. And, you know, we all have habits. Habits of thinking, habit of mind, habit of doing. And I think that this challenges us. I think more than other steps, this challenges us to think and feel differently. At least it was for me. It was a challenge in that way for me. And that part of it being, if I open myself to it, then I can do it. If you look at some of this, it says in other parts, it says, I think I wrote it down as 72.1, but I could be wrong. But previously in the book, it says, we've been trying to get a new attitude, a new relationship with our Creator. And so this step is the cookbook, if you will, for how we do that, the guidelines for how we do it. And some of the instructions are pretty straightforward because the next thing it says is, now, we could be vague about this. Well, I don't know about you, but I was pretty vague in the past. My spirituality was whatever I felt like and didn't feel asleep. Now, I had practices. I did. I grew up in a faith tradition that I treasure and has been part of me from the beginning. I've moved away from it. I've come back to it. But when I think about it, it was pretty much, you know, what I felt like when I felt like it. And I will tell you, I don't do all of this every day, but I know if I'm working towards it, I'm heading in that right direction. You know, so it talks, that first thing that it talks about is that, you know, we could be vague about this. It's easy to be vague about this matter, but we believe we can make some definite and valuable suggestions. Again, suggestions, but they're valuable. So then we go launch into it, and I was at a retreat last week, and she very nicely put it into the three parts. You know, she said the three parts are the morning, the nighttime, and the time in between. Well, you know, that pretty much covers it. But this concept of that, and she starts with the nighttime. You know, she starts with this book starts with the nighttime. And it talks about those things that we look at. And I think anybody from any background would recognize this as that process of self-examination, looking deeper, thinking about our day. And it's really two things. Where did we go wrong? You know, were we selfish? Were we dishonest? Were we fearful? But also, where did we go right? Where were we helpful? How could we have been more helpful? And that's a part where I've been exploring more recently, looking at how can I open myself up and say, to the God of my understanding, allow me to be helpful today. And I've been discovering when I say that, things come along. So looking at the positives as well as the negatives will prevent us from the caution, because then we have the warning, but we must be careful not to drift. So drifting, aimless movement, and again, my mind, it's not a healthy place for me to be unless I'm working my program, but my mind can go from drifting to running to chasing to all of this if I allow it to just get off track. And so having, again, some, I guess you will, boundaries around it, knowing that we need to look at this, and it's constructive. That's the other word that's in here. We look at it constructively. So we're not looking at it to give ourselves, oh my gosh, I did it wrong again. That's one of the things of our old behavior, at least one of my old things, was I would be so negative about myself that I would miss the fact that if I'm spending all that time focusing how negative I am, it says here, we don't have time to reach out to anybody else. And so, that part of it is, and it really wraps it up relatively quickly. After making our review, we ask for forgiveness, and what should we do? Simple. And I think that's something where I've had to learn how to let it go. Let go, move on, get back into the stream of life, which is really what this is all about. And then it shifts into the morning. And in essence, what you're doing with the morning part of it is basically, as I said, plugging in for the day, realizing that I think somebody here says reporting for duty. Is it you? I think it is. Yep. So it's, reporting for duty, and what's my assignment, and what do you want me to do today, and how am I to do it? And that sense of first, here, we're removing those things, our habits of mind. And my habits are of mind are to be thinking about myself, not thinking about somebody else, wallowing a little more than I need to, maybe playing a victim a little bit. And I need to unplug from those so that I can plug into being of maximum use to people around me in all my affairs, whether I'm sponsoring or not. That's about life. So that process of asking God to direct our thinking, especially asking that it be divorced, separated from, I'm not going to focus on these things. I'm going to focus on what's good, what's positive, the way that I want to live, and the way God wants me to live. What's God's will in my life? I really like the word inspiration, too. And it says, thinking about our day, we may face indecision. We ask God for inspiration. So inspiration, that those of us who had to take Latin in school, I was one of them, because I was afraid to speak languages, so I took Latin, but it really serves me well. Inspiration, to inspire, to breathe in, to be divinely led or influenced. These are things I don't want to miss. I want to hear those messages as we go. And I think that as we do plug in, what's happening is there's a communication process that is being set up that allows me to pray, which is to ask, and that work shows up a lot, like in that previous paragraph, ask for God, ask for direction, ask for removal. And then there's the pausing and the listening. Okay, I don't know. What can I do differently? What do you want me to do? And when I first started reading this, as I first came into here, I will tell you my favorite phrase, and it wasn't about being lazy or slothful. It was relax and take it easy. I mean, I couldn't have relaxed and taken it easy in my previous, either my spiritual or my religious life. That was not part of it. But here I'm told, I want this to be real. I want this to be a connection that will be strong and that will be vibrant and living. Not about, please give it for me. Okay, I did it. Please make it better. Well, you don't get it today. That concept of that back and forth, which I thought was there to begin with. I have been surprised that the answers come. And the gift of this step is the more that each of us, and I know for me, the more that I practice it, and it is a practice. I did not, the first time I got on the ice to ice skate as a kid, I didn't know how to go backwards. I didn't know how to stop. Actually, the first time I got on a bicycle, I didn't know how to stop. That was not pretty. I ended up in a window well. And these are things that we learn. We learn as time goes on. I mean, we're kids. We have to give ourselves, you know, the benefit of the doubt. And again, for me, it was, I was too harsh on myself. And I now know that. I was constantly criticizing myself for not doing it right, not getting it totally the way it should be. But, you know, now I know it's about a process and it's about learning. And those hunches, those messages come as we practice this. And I love that last sentence. I will also share with you, my favorite word is nevertheless. I don't know why. It is my favorite word in the universe. Nevertheless, and you know, despite everything, no matter what happens, we find that our thinking will, as time passes, be more and more on the plane of inspiration. What a gift that is, as we come into that. And then it gets to the, all right, we're going to launch out, kind of like it in step 7. All right, we're ready for the day. Get us on the track, move us out, a prayer that we be shown all through the day what our next step is to be, and that we be given what we need. And then the warning, we don't pray for things, or we don't ask for things just because we want them anymore. And I think that's an evolution also that we have as we move through that. I call the next paragraph 87, additional considerations. You know, basically, if you've got family members, bring them in. If you are in a religious tradition, do what you're supposed to do. And if you really don't know what to do, talk to somebody who might know more than you. So there are those 3 points in that paragraph about, you know, other things to think about, but not specific directions, just other options you might consider. Then we get to the as the day goes ahead. As we go through the day. And this one I love too, learning to pause. But when I first started trying to that, I was pausing, but it was blank after that. And what I've learned is that we pause and ask. So again, ask is prayer. Pause and ask. And that phrase is now with me. I try to. I don't always do it. I'll be honest with you. I don't do it a lot of the time. But I know that I think about it. And I have learned to stop a whole lot more. As we go on here, it talks about you're not running the show. That was really good for me, that reminder of step 3. I'm not in charge. Thy will be done. I'm not doing much here. And then again, it talks about, I think, the last part of it I wanted to talk about is the promises of 11, which are not just the promises there. Let me see if I can find my list. I know they were here. If you look at the promises, they're all throughout the step. 86.0 is it works. 86.2, our thoughts will be on a higher plane when our thinking is cleared of wrong motives. 86.3, the right answers will come with practice. 87, previous hunches or inspiration become a working part of the mind, and our mind will be increasingly inspired. And then 88, when we use meditation and prayer as outlined here, we live less in danger of excitement, fear, anger, worry. Now, aren't those the 4 things that really got us all going? Those are the 4 things we have to always watch for. So the things that we're in trouble with, we will be protected from when we use this power that's available to us. We become more efficient because I'm pausing instead of going, oh my God, now what do I do? Now what do? I'm letting it go. I'm stopping and let God direct me. And we do not tire so easily because we're not wasting all that energy. And finally, it works. It really does. And with that, I will stop.
Wow. All right.